Gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that if you've got a Mishneh Berurah in front of you, you will notice that we are up to the very tail end of Hilchos Tanis, which we've started a good few weeks ago. So we are up to page 102, which is Siman Tov Kuf Pei, and that will lead to Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, which we shall be starting. I don't know, maybe we'll get there tonight or latest on Sunday. We're up to Siman.
So we've done Hanukkah.
Rosh Hashanah, now comes Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to be starting Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. And if everything works out well, we'll be learning Hilchos Rosh Hashanah now. The next, it doesn't take that long, Rosh Hashanah. And then after the Yom Kippur, we'll be like in the holidays. But then like Sukkot, will be like Sukkot time. More or less, not quite. But okay, so without any further delays, we're up to top of page 102, which is Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Tes. And in Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Tes, we learned about the way one davens if there is a Tanis. And now, what we're going to be learning now, which is the second part of Sif Aleph, is who is the right man to take the Amud? Who is the right man to daven for the Amud? Good evening. Who is the right man to take the Amud? Now, these halachas that we're going to be seeing now are very relevant, not only when it comes to a fast, but in fact, those halachas that are identical, that's where they learn from the halachas. If anybody wants to daven for the Amud, wants to be the chazan on the Shoshanah, Yom Kippur, they always refer back to those halachas. So here they are. What are the conditions for being a correct Baal Tefillah? So what are the conditions? So I'm in top of page, in our editions, it's top of page 102. And in Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Tes Sif Aleph, second half. Who is the right man to stand before the Amud? Who is the right chazan? So now, let's go through the conditions. Ish Rogel B'Tefillah. First one is, you need to be a Ish Rogel B'Tefillah. You need to be a person who is top line, page 102. Ishu Rogel B'Tefillah, somebody who is, who knows how to daven.
Fluent.
Okay. We understand that rule. Why do you need to be fluent? It's not good. Yeah. Can't make mistakes. Have you got Siman Tov Kuf Pei just before Tov Kuf Pei? Yeah, we are here. No, maybe it is over here. Oops, sorry. Maybe it is over here. Mirogel is Paul. Yeah, it is top line here as well. Mirogel is Verogeliko is Pater Nevi Muksuvim. He needs to be familiar also with the Torah. He needs to be familiar with Nevi'im. And he needs to be familiar with Ksuvim. Okay, that makes it already a bit more challenging to find the right chazan. So he needs to be a good reader. All right. Then he needs to be quite well versed in the Torah, Nevi'im, Muksuvim. Okay, gets a bit more challenging. Next condition, metupal, means he needs to be really busy with children, with young children. Says Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Nude, metupal of Onan Ketan needs to have young children who keep him up at night. He keeps him busy with homework and stuff like that. Okay.
He must have had or he must have now?
A good question. Metupal. Good question. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Ve'einloi means that he can't be financially too secured. If you're just too wealthy, what's the problem with that? Exactly. If he's got, is he financially too comfortable, davening is not going to come with that. Lev nishbar, that's right. The financial struggles need to be felt. Okay. He needs to be hardworking in the field. He doesn't need to be literally in the field. I gather the fields that we call nowadays offices is probably the same kind of category. It just means a hardworking man. So these rules so far make a lot of sense, right? So what we've seen so far, fluent reader, needs to know Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, needs to be busy with young children, needs to be financially stretched or not too independent. Usually give a soldier, needs to be a hardworking man. We carry on. For lo yibavonov nebesoy, his children and close family members. For chol kroivav, and all the people he's close to. Valnil v'meil, of all these dependent people. Hello balavera, none of his close family members must be balavera. So if he's got really close relatives who are known to be balei avera, can't come for the omud. Although it's not his fault, but still. Yeah, so I saw the poskim speak about Baal Tshuva. And, yeah, I don't know what the halacha lemaase is. It seems to be questionable. Eloye beisoy reikom in averes, his whole household must be empty from averes. His household, his family, his close relatives must be all on a certain level. For the yotzal of shem rabbi aldusoy. And there mustn't be any bad reputation, bad rumors about his, when he was young, couldn't have been any bad gossips about him.
Why do you think it focuses so to take back? Why do you think it focuses on the proficiency in Torah Shabbat rather than Torah Shabbat Peh? How is interesting?
I don't know.
Does anyone talk about
it? No, I didn't see anything. Good question.
Could be because of with the Philip.
Maybe it comes from that. Yeah. Interesting. So it's not about being a Talmid Chacham, it's about being well-versed, yeah. Shfal Berach, he must be humble. Umarut Salaam, he needs to be popular amongst the Mispalim. That's probably the hardest of all conditions. All the other ones, you know, you can have opinions. But the last one, somebody that the majority of the Oilim is happy with, that's hard. One second, Robert Feingold, are you involved in the Shtibel? So which ones of those conditions is the hardest to find?
Well, I'm about filler, so none of them.
Oh, I see you're about filler. Oh, I see. Right.
You're busy with graduates.
Right, okay, good. Now the last one is interesting that it goes in this order. He's got a very beautiful voice. Yeah, so that's right. Okay, but it's the last one of all the conditions. Here. Vim Hoya Zokain, and if he's old, Im Kolamidos Elu, Harizem before. If he's old and he's got all the above mentioned conditions, that's great. Vim Einu Zokain, but if he's not old, he hasn't reached that age, that's the least of the considerations. If he's got not the age, if he's not that old, he doesn't have, you know, married great grandchildren yet, doesn't matter. So if all the other conditions apply, if all the other previous conditions, that's amazing. If he can be old, that's good. If he's not, if he's still young and he still achieved all those, you're doing very well, very well. I think it's quite a challenging list, Rabbi Isai. It's a very hard list. Now I don't know how you prioritize. I don't know how you prioritize. If you can't find somebody who's got all those conditions, good reputation, davens nicely, is humble, works hard, has got young children, this keeps him busy at night, he's not too rich, he's that, it's very, you know, how do you
today, don't we just rely on the last one, the master?
No, what's the last one?
But
it's the last one on the list.
One
looks at. Yeah. You see, I remember there's a story, I don't know if it's true or not. They say a story of Abraham Briska, I think they say the story. It's not brought down in the Mishnah, this story, but they said the story that they asked, does Abraham Briska, maybe the Briska, don't remember now. They asked him, said, one person's got a very nice voice, but most of the other conditions over here are not, he doesn't have. He's got a very good voice, but the other conditions are. But the other alternative is a person who's got, who is like a Talmid Chacham, he's a Yasefa, he's humble, he's well hard working, he's got young children, he's got everything, but his voice is not so great. His voice is a bit off tune. So who should they choose for? So we know what we would have said based on what we learned now. But the Biskov said, well, if he's off tune, then he's not a chassan, he doesn't even come into consideration. He's not part of the list, you know, knock him off the list. He's not. So you've got an alternative. So that's what, yeah, it's a hard one to be able to prioritize in this. Siv Beis, Seder HaTfilah V'Sheish, Seder HaTfilah V'Sheish Baruch Shem Moisev Et Kir Shutekam, V'Vuv Yofa B'Tur Simen Zeh. So what are you actually blowing the shofar? What do you blow? What are you doing at Kirs? On those fast days, well, that's brought down into, see there if you want to know in clear instructions. Siv Gimel, Sheva Tanias Elu. After the davening, on those seven fast days that we'll be learning about, after davening, you finish davening. All right, we've discussed what to daven and who davens for the amud. So after the davening, yotzim kol ha'am lebeis hakvos. All the even go to the beis hakvos. They go to the cemetery, to beis hachaim. Uvoichim, they cry there, umischalim sham, and they daven there. They. Klema, and they say hariatem esim. You are nifter already. Keilu imloy toshuvu midakichem, and we'll be like, and the people over there say, well, we are no different if we don't do tshuva. To go to the cemetery, Filipiza says the Ramah of Yemen Kivrei Sol, if there's no Jewish cemetery that one may go to, one can go to Holchem al Kivrei Nochem, one can even go to a Goyish cemetery as well. Which halacha is this like? Where else can we find this exactly identical halacha? To go to Beis Chaim? Where do we find this? Is Jonathan on? Nope. Tisha B'Av. That's it. Habayi Sa'an, Tisha B'Av. After Kinnas, after Eicha, those who can should go to the cemetery. That's what Halacha says. Interesting. Well, of course, one should ideally go to the Jewish Beis Chaim if one is unable to go. One can even go to a Goyish one, which is not the norm. It's not the minhag. But the reason for it is what's brought down over here. Yeah, so there's an exception over here because it's about inspiring us. You know, these people over here that are going through those Tanesim, those Yidden, they say, well, if we're not going to change our ways, we're going to end up, what's the expression, seven feet under? 6 foot under. So we're going to be exactly the same, so we better do tshuva. That's the background of it. Yeah, that would be a problem, yeah. Yeah, that's a problem, you're right. So the minig is, as you're saying, quite correctly, minig is one does not go to Goyish Beis Chaim. One doesn't go. And the minig certainly is to go to Yiddish. Yeah. Simatov Kuf Peira Boisai. Let's see if we can do a bit of that, because, yeah. What are the days that are fast days? Elo Yom Sheirubim Tzoros Labusinu. These halachas mentioned over here, these are what's called Tanas Tzadikim. These are days that Tzadikim, they're called Tanas Tzadikim. These are days that, tragedies happen on Klal Yisrael. V'roi le'isanes b'ayim, it's right to fast in those days. Check it out, Abayisai. If you want to have some extra days, you want to fast, here is a list of days that you are allowed to fast if you want to. They're called Tanas Tzadikim for a reason, because v'avol pishim iktsasim v'rosh chodesh, although some of them are on Rosh Chodesh, yesh misho'im, which is anuboy, nevertheless, you're allowed to fast on those Rosh Chodesh. So generally, don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. Those are the exceptions. For Tosh Shel Hashem Rosh Chodesh. Okay, what are they? Pechot B'Nissan, Nesub Ne'Aaron. On the first of Nissan, the sons of Aaron were Nifta. Good day to fast. First of Nissan. Be'Asoraboy, 10th of Nissan. Me'Sor Miriam, V'Nistalek HaBe'er. 10th of Nissan, great day to fast as well. Miriam was Nifta. And the Be'er seized. Disappeared. Chavav boy, Meis Yishua ben Nun, on the 26th of Nisan. This is Machloik is about it, actually. Because Yishua ben Nun was Nifta. Asura be'ir, 10th of Iyar. Meis Eliakoyin was Nifta. Veshnei Bonov. And his two sons, Venishpor and Hashem, and as it says in Psukim in Novi, the Ora in the Bris, the Ora in Bris Hashem, the Ora in HaKodesh was kidnapped, not kidnapped, what is it called? Captured, was taken away by the Plishtim. It's a great tragedy. Reason to fast. Chav Ches boy Mei Shmuel HaNavi on the 28th of Iyar, great day to fast as well. Shmuel HaNavi was Nifta. Chav Gimel V'Seven, 23rd of Seven. Bot La Bikurim Melanot Yerushalayim. P'mei Yerovam Benavot, Benavot discouraged and stopped the Bikurim to be brought down. Hence, 23rd of Seven, people fast. Chav Hei, 25th of Nisan, Nerok Rabon Shem Gamliel, B'Rabbi Shmuel V'Chanine B'Zgan HaKoenim. On that day, those Tanoim went after. 27th, by Niso, Reb Chanina ben Tadin, Vesefer Toyama. He was burnt. He was killed. He was murdered. And that's therefore the day that 27th of Iyar. Reb Chanina ben Tadin, through the Romans. Echad be'av, the first of Av. Mes Aaron HaKohen, when is that? Is that next week? Not the week after. First of Av, Aaron was Nifta. Good day to fast. Yudches, 18th of Av. Kovom Nera Ma'arovi b'mei Ochaz. In the days of Ochav, the Nera Ma'arovi ceased. Good day to fast as well. Yudzayin Elul, Mesu Metzia di Basarot, on the 17th of Elul. The Dibas Oritz, the Meraglim, died. It's also the Yotzal of my great grandfather, by the way, but that's not the reason why. Chamisha B'Tisha, on the 5th of Tisha, Meisu Esim, Eish Meisu, Venech Pashu B'Akiva, that was the day that 20 people were, and that's why Rabbi Akiva was captured as well. Day to fast. B'Tisha, B'Shvi, Nigzo Exera, B'Sinel, Shemusu B'Cherev, Uvarov, B'Dev Nimaisu Egel, that was the day. The 7th of Tishrei was the day that the Yidden were, that was decided, there was a Gzeirah decree that the Yidden were going to die in the 40 years in the Midbar because of the eagle. Shiva Machash, 7th of Cheshvan, Evu Eine Tzidkio, he got blinded, V'shachtu Bonov Le'enov, and his, and they killed, they murdered his sons in front of his eyes. Chofres Kislev, 28th of Kislev, Sor of Yochem Megillah, Shekosub, that was the day that 28th of Kislev, Yoyakim's Megillah was destroyed. And that's why people fast. Whoops! 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 I'm repeating that. 28th of Kislev. Exactly, it's Hanukkah. How can you fast on Hanukkah? Yeah, the answer is people don't. If it's possible to push it off, one doesn't fast on Hanukkah. You're right. Shmoyne Tevas, Nichtava Tori Yevonis, B'metalme Amelech, very interesting one. On the 8th of Tevas, that was a day that the Torah was translated for the first time. Talmai Amelech. The Torah was translated, that's a great tragedy. Why is it a tragedy that the Torah was translated? Why? Watered down, that's a nice expression. Right, it was, that's right. Torah in its purest sense is not to be translated. Yes, that's all that. That's exactly what it says. There was a darkness for 3 days. For Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Tevas, I don't know, says the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what happened on that day, but I know there was a great tragedy, and that's why some people fast. Interesting. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Yeah, that's right. Ezra was nifted on that day. That's what the Slichas say. Correct, very good. Chamisha b'Shvat, on the 5th of Shvat, Meisu Askenim Shei B'mei Yeshua, Chav Gimel Niskapzu Kol Yisrael Al Shevi B'Nyom, Pelegesh B'Givo, so Pelegesh Givo, 23rd of Shvat, V'Shiva V'Adar, 7th of Adar, Meisu Moshe Rabbeinu L'Hashem, that is the 7th of Adar, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta, and that's something, and B'Tisha B'Oi, Nechleku B'Shama B'Sile, on the 9th of Adar, there was a great Machlok, B'Shama B'Sile, Rabbi Yisai, 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta. Pardon? He was born as well. Yeah, we know Haman got confused about that. But Rabbi said it's very common that the Chevek Kedisha, fast on the seventh Adar. It's one of the Tana Tzedikim. Now interesting also, what's wrong with why do we fast on the 9th? Well, it's Nachlok B'Shama B'Sila. Yeah, lack of clarity of Torah that leads to a split, and that leads to. And finally, Rabbi says if Gimel. And with this, we'll complete Hilchas. Tanis Bezer Hashem, Yish Mishoim, Mishigazu, Shimisan, Bechol Shen, Vechamishi, Halchobun Abai. Some people fast every Monday and Thursday, because the Chobun Beis Hamikdash. Every Monday and Thursday, gentlemen, fasting every Monday and Thursday. Check it out. Valatoyr Shinisifu Al Chil Hashem, because the Torah which was destroyed. And Chil Hashem, which was caused because of the B'chum Bezameh, for the Osid, love boy in the future Bezer Hashem, Yavchem Hashem, Sosim Simcha, Hashem will turn it to Sosim Simcha. Rabbi Yisai, Mishnah Berurah says there's a minhag, some people are learning not to eat meaty and milky, not to have meat on, that's right. So Mishnah Berurah says, Yesh Mishnah Berurah, some people on Monday and Thursday will not have meat because of that. And in the summer, such as now, they will eat on the night before. But he said that to Minik, some people refrain. Finally, I just want to add, Mishnah Berurah says in the name of the Tanya, that there is a Gzeira, that there was in the times of the, in France, they burnt 20 Nisavu Esim Kronos Melem Sforim, but it was 20 wagons of Sefer Torah and Sforim which were burnt 20 on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Koirach, I believe it was. And some people fast there for, and always on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Chukas, that's it. So Chukas. And also there's a fast on Chav 7, which is quite a common fast, because that one, that was when the programs of Tach V'Tat, Chmielnitsky programs took place then, and that's why many people fast on Chav 7. So these are the fasts that's brought down of here, but Rabbi Yisai, as the Shulchan Aruch completes, Le'asid Lovoy, Mitzhem, all those days, we've been assassin with Simchem, which will be Zoyche, to joyous days, Bekor, B'Amein, Mitz Hashem. And with this, we have completed Chestanis, and we shall be starting Bezer Hashem, with great Simcha, Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Sunday night at 8:10. And now, let us hear some, yeah. Good, yeah.
So, speaking about the Acharav Chaim ben Atzar, the Or Chaim, who was Niftar on the 15th of Tammuz, just after Parshas Pinchas. Chaim, the Or Chaim, HaKodesh. The Acharav Chaim ben Atzar was born in the year 5456, 1696, a son of Sali Morocco, to his father, the Chacham, of Moshe, the son of Rab Chaim of the ben Atzar family, who was one of the distinguished families exiled from Spain. In his youth, he was learned by his grandfather, Rab Chaim ben Atzar. He married the daughter of the wealthy Rab Moshe, son of Shem Tov ben Atzar, whose home he could continue to sit and learn until his father-in-law was falsely accused, and as a result he lost all his money. A short time later, his father-in-law passed away. Even after his father-in-law's death, Rav Chaim ben Atzar continued to be oppressed and pursued. He was a subject of various accusations led upon him by evil men, was eventually imprisoned. The Muslim ruler of Morocco also put heavy taxes on the Jewish population. Due to that, Rav Chaim moved to Italy and settled in Livorno, where he was supported by the wealthy Jewish merchants of the city. From there, he decided to finally travel to Eretz Israel. He travelled through several European countries on his way to his final destination. Whilst journeying in Europe, he completed his Sforim, Or HaChaim, and Pri To'ar. End of the year 5502, 1742, he went up to Eretz Israel. He settled in Yerushalayim and established a yeshiva in the name of Midrash Knesset Yisrael. But unfortunately, less than a year later, he passed away on Motzei Shabbos, Parshas Pinchas, 5503, 1743, the young age of 47 years, and was buried in Har HaZeitzim. He was told at the time of his death that the Baal Shem Tov was sitting down to eat Shalosh Sudos in the town of Mezibush. After reciting Chametz and eating a piece of bread, he suddenly announced, "The Western light has gone out." And there's a connection with the Or HaChaim and the turning of the war in the Alamein campaign during the Second World War. During the Second World War, Hitler's armies, Yimach Shemo, were on the verge of invading the Holy Land. He even announced that within 24 hours he will be taking over Israel. My father sent me, this is the Rebbe of Shomrei Emunim, Rabbi Aharon Roth. Within 24 hours, my father sent me together with another messenger to Harav Yosef Zvi Jashinsky, Rav of the Ada Haredis, to ask him to announce a Yom Tefillah on the 15th of Tammuz at the grave of the Or HaChaim HaKodesh to arouse heavenly mercy because the situation was terrible. He told us to tell him that Hitler Yashmashmo had announced he will enter Eretz Israel and pour his wrath within 2 days over the Jews with the help of the Arabs, and he knows that the foundation of the Jewish nations, the Kosel Maravi. He was saying that after conquering Eretz Israel, he would destroy the Kosel, and then he will know that he has vanquished the Jews. They announced Yom Tefillah, and about 10,000 people gathered at Or HaChaim's grave, and there was a great Isurus. The Chassan San Yitzhak Rebbe was also there. He stood near the Tzion, and afterwards he walked around with a smile on his face and said, "The evil one Hitler, Yimach Shemo, will not enter Eretz Israel." When they asked him how he knows, he answered that he saw the Shem Havaya of Hashem lighting up on the Tzion of the Or HaChaim. And this is a sign that this evil man will succeed. And so it was. The Pasuk says, Lavado Yushechon, a nation that dwells apart, Behold, a nation that dwells alone means that they don't mix with the Gentiles, although all Gentiles have no issue blending together as one unit. But not so the Eden. It is like oil and water that are perpetually separate. Another meaning to this pasuk can be the one, meaning that all the phenomena of the world and all the goings on within it are only because of the Israel. During the campaign during the war, the El Alamein campaign, that was when the tide of the war turned, and that was when the Yidden davened at the cave of Or
HaChaim. It's a story then.
Yeah.
They bought drinking water, but they made a mistake and they connected it to seawater, so the German soldiers. Drinking salt.
Oh, I didn't hear that one, yeah. It says, because of what I just said, that was the turn of the war. Up to that time, the Britain, particularly, had lost all the wars up to then. But after the El Alamein campaign, the tide was turned. They never lost a war after that. And so it's connected with the Or HaChaim and the Yiddish people. And I'm not sure if they fasted, they may have done. Probably did. Yeah. Oh, hang on, I found it. Right. The British Mandate. One of the examples is the British Mandate that ruled North Africa and the Levant, which included Eretz Israel, Lebanon and Transjordan from the end of World War I till after World War II, in total about 30 years. Buffer zone. From the end of World War I till the end of 1920, no one even dreamed in the worst nightmare that the next decade and a half would bring the infamous Adolf Hitler, Yamashimo, who was still in his real life a nobody and at best a maniac. He didn't even make a blip on the radar. Therefore, the fact that Great Britain is in charge of that part of the world was not seen as anything so wonderful. It is therefore frightening to imagine that what would be if Eretz Israel and in fact the entire region would be in the hand of the Turks when Hitler came to power. With Great Britain in charge, they served as Hashem's messengers, as a buffer zone in the region to save the world and Jewish people, in fact, the entire world.
Who was the ever that saw the shame by the
cave of Erechaim? The first of the world, was it? Yeah. The Chosat in the river.
Very nice, thank you so much. Very good. Good evening, Avoy Segel Shabbos.